As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Before I had pickleball, I had nothing.
Football. Flapjack. Bounce it, bounce it, bounce it, bounce it, bounce it. Dink.
Pickleball is life. And the rest is also life without pickleball.
Good rally, buddy, good rally.
I love this game.
If you're not making eggs, then stay out of the kitchen. Shadow me.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, July 21st. 2023. This is the drop. Trey Kirby's having some issues with his wires. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
I too am feeling good with these earpieces today.
He's always struggling with these
100%.
Earpieces.
I'm in between, man. What can I say? I don't have a big ear canal. I don't have a small ear canal, so I got to go in the middle, and they're just falling out all the time. Ayo.
Gotta get you some schmediums.
That's the top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Yeah, we gotta have them, though, because there's no way we could hear each other in here.
Well, you gotta hear the music.
Yeah, do I?
Sometimes gotta hear some
you gotta
clips.
Laugh. Pickleball
gotta hear the
guy.
Clipper Bros. Pickleball guy. Yeah, you gotta hear JD's lovely voice over yonder making the magic happen. What's up, JD?
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see it. Like the vid, comment away, subscribe to No Dunks. Go get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. That's the website you want to hit. We're going to have some fun a little bit later. Tomorrow...
I'm a disaster,
Trey Kirby,
bro.
What
I'm
the fuck is going on, man? You've been sitting here for 45 minutes, and then we go live, and you're like scrambling in the last 20 seconds. What were you doing for 45 minutes sitting here?
Waiting for Tass.
Coming up on YouTube tomorrow, we are going to drop a very fun video. It's us counting down our top 20 favorite LeBron James memes. Now, this podcast version, it's already up. It's already available. A King's Reign is the podcast on the Athletic NBA show. It's your boys here from No Dunks having a blast, just reliving some funny LeBron James moments, memes, photos, everything there. You see a couple on the thumbnail if you're joining us on YouTube. A lot of fun. So check out that podcast, A King's Reign, the Athletic NBA show. And really encourage you to watch the YouTube clip that we'll post probably tomorrow where we show you the memes and we break it all down. It
How many times do you think we said memes?
Oh, so many. So, because we started talking about what's a meme, what isn't a meme. But yeah, a lot. Somebody count. Somebody count for us how many times we say memes. What would you set the over-under at?
I was originally thinking 100, but that's gotta be too many.
Too high.
Yeah. 50?
Yeah.
Yeah. 36-ish minutes. 1.5-ish per minute, kinda.
Yeah. I listened to the first 2 minutes. You said his Mount Meme more. His best memes. I like that.
That's good. All right. Somebody count for us. Listen to the podcast. Watch the YouTube clip tomorrow. And coming up later today, in mere hours, at 12 p.m. Eastern, on Playback, guys, we're going to try this for the first time, opening some No Dunks fan mail on Playback. So come kick it with us in the chat. We'll see how it goes. All of us here in the Classic Factory, I know JD, you've been doing some work on this. I think you figured it all out, we hope.
Well, we'll be on playback for sure. I guarantee that.
Whether or not you'll be able to see what we're opening, that's a good question. We will find out soon. So that's, again, if you're joining us live, we're basically going to turn around after the drop podcast and jump on playback. So make sure you join us there. I forgot to include the link in the show notes.
It's in the YouTube chat right now.
Yes. Hey, man, you're bouncing back.
That's why I had to hop over it. I didn't get the cell phone and computer reminder today. Sometimes I'm the one that says it. Sometimes you're the one
that
says
it. That's true. I didn't say
it. No reminding. We thought we had it. Locked in.
On today's drop, we're going to talk about the biggest off-season winners and losers. We're going to have some fun in the up-down report. And you know we got rapid fire. Tass has the questions this week. But we got to talk a little bit about the Philadelphia 76ers. They've had a week here, if you think about it. First off, 76ers general manager Daryl Morey admitted to the 97.5 The Fanatic on Tuesday that James Harden prefers to be somewhere else, but he said the team would only trade him for a player who would keep the Sixers a title contender. Quote, if we don't get either a very good player or something we can turn into a very good player, then we're just not doing it. Again, this is Morey on the radio. If James were to turn his mind around, we would all be thrilled. You've heard Joel Embiid's comments about that, but at this moment, he prefers to be traded, and we are attempting to honor that. I would also like to add, Tass, because I'm always on top of these things, Harden has removed NBA player for the Philadelphia 76ers and the location of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, from his Twitter bio. And he had some, cryptic.
Maybe he's not in Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, he's saying he's not a player for Philadelphia 76ers anymore. He's just promoting his wine company. He's all in on his at J Harden Wines. Which I've yet to try out, but
those colorful labels I see them around.
That's right. What do you make of this? And I know we'll get to Embiid's comments that really had Twitter going nuts.
Hold on, I can't hold this in. I can't hold this in any longer. Woj bomb, Wesley Matthews signing with the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow, that's your guy.
Wes, come on, no dunks.
Yeah, come on, no dunks.
He's my man.
I like that.
Are you gonna tweet out the photo of you and him at the airport? From way back in the day?
Yeah, was that Chicago airport?
That's right.
Was it?
That's right.
Yeah, we were going from Chicago to Portland, where he was participating in LaMarcus Aldridge's charity game.
Wow, you're right.
Which we also went to.
Oh, yeah. Got to see Kevin Durant up close. That was one of my best memories.
And we were flying from Chicago to Portland then.
Yeah.
We were on the same flight
as this guy.
Yep. That is right. Okay.
Was he first class?
He must have been.
Yeah, I think so.
This was early. This was very early in his career.
Yeah, that's a good point. We were sharing rooms back then.
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
I had Lee for most of that trip. Did you guys bunk?
Yeah, we bunked.
Yeah.
Matty,
we were
Scotch and Soda.
That's right.
Oh, you got a nickname.
I just remember from that trip, Matty O hanging up his laundry. Washing his tiny socks and hanging them in the shower, like on the bar. Like a crazy person.
I found those socks in the van console when I was driving.
You're
I literally
right.
opened
Why
to
were
get my
there?
Sunglasses or something, and there's two socks.
I guess it's, my guess is that it's because he didn't have a dryer to dry his socks. So if you put them in a hot car in a enclosed thing, they'll heat up. I don't know.
Put them on the dash, if anything. Yeah,
you should put them on the dash. Next time.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm glad we're doing this because no one really wants to talk about James Harden anymore. But have at it.
Well, I find it interesting that Daryl Morey is going on radio to talk about this. Why? Other than. It just reeks of desperation. Mm. I think we had a nickname Scotch and Soda a decade ago. I think a good nickname for Daryl Morey is Desperate Daryl right now. I mean, he's literally going on radio to say, "Hello, make us an offer." What else is he going on radio to do? What is he going to accomplish?
I think
he's a calculated individual, or I guess you can look at it and say he's telling James Harden. With as big a megaphone as possible, we want you back. Please change your mind. Please change your mind. Please change your mind. Because no one's offering anything good.
Right.
I mean, I just think there has to be some motive here. Otherwise, what are you doing? What are you doing, Daryl?
What do you think?
Feels like he's just digging in his heels and kind of, I guess, letting 76ers fans know, like you said, this could take a little bit of time. And we've seen Daryl Morey in the past, wait things out. He did it with Ben Simmons, obviously, and a trade came around, ended up being James Harden. And it worked out for Morey. So I think he's doing the right thing, saying we're not going to trade a guy who just led the NBA in assists per game. James Harden's still a good player. We're not going to just trade him for nothing just to get the job done, because that's what Harden wants to do. And Harden is doing what everybody does when they have a trade request, saying, this is where I want to go. Get me there. Twisted headline, though, from the Philly Voice report. James Harden intends to play for the Clippers no matter the Sixers' wishes.
How's that possible?
How's he going to pull this one off? Shows up to training camp wearing a Clippers jersey. All right, see you guys later.
Puts it in his bio, player for the Clippers, does he just appear in a Clippers jersey?
Oh, the NBA schedule makers should put Clippers Sixers game one opening night.
Oh, yeah.
He's still on Philly, but he just like takes off his jersey, just goes and plays with them. What would
let's see who he plays for.
There's no rules against it. Yeah,
who do you play for?
Yeah, you think it's going to happen eventually? Is that where this man is going, to the LA Clippers, and it's just Daryl trying to get the most out of them?
Well, all the reporting is that the Clippers are being pretty tight-handed with their assets. They don't have a ton of picks they can trade, but they're not even putting Terrence Mann into the deal, which everybody thought maybe that's going to be the deal maker here, because Mann's a younger player who we've seen have some playoff success, kind of fell out of the rotation for the Clippers at times. So that's who you would think that the Sixers are going to want to get back, alongside maybe a Norman Powell or whoever else makes the numbers work. But if they're not offering their best player asset, then Morey kind of has to go on the radio and say, we're not trading James Harden for literally nothing, especially because the situations with Ben Simmons and James Harden aren't completely the same.
Yeah.
4 years on the contract for Ben Simmons. Harden has to play this year. If he wants to get another deal where he's making $30 million plus, he can't just not play through a season and then assume that another team's going to take a chance on him when he's 35 years old. He tried to get a deal this summer, and it didn't work, so he opted in to the contract, which, looking back now, maybe a mistake. Maybe he should have just picked his place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I do think it gets done before the season, because the difference between this and Simmons, 4 years versus 1 year with James Harden. Mm-hmm. So the longer you wait here, the more Embiid suffers.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play, the more Sixers records, the more their record suffers.
Well, let's talk Embiid, because he made some waves. He said, I just want to win a championship, whatever it takes. Embiid said this in an interview with Maverick Carter that took place last Thursday at the Uninterrupted Sports Film Festival, and it sort of hit the internet, I guess, a couple days later. Quote, I don't know where that's going to be, whether it's in Philly or anywhere else. I just want to have a chance to accomplish that. That's what got people going crazy. Or anywhere else. I want to see what it feels like to win that first one, and then you can think about the next one. And again, this was taking place last Thursday, and then it sort of hit Twitter on Monday. That's when the video started gaining steam. But Trey, I thought of you immediately, because you have been calling the Embiid is going to be leaving the Philadelphia 76ers for a very long time, and I can only assume that this is just another, you know, little breadcrumb there that that's a real possibility.
Oh, definitely. I don't think Embiid is going to finish his career in Philadelphia. So that, to me, leaves me in two minds with regards to what he said. Like, I don't think what he said was surprising at all.
No. I agree. This is nothing. This is a nothing burger. Really?
Well, I don't know if it's a total nothing burger, because it's the first time Embiid has, like, hinted at all about playing anywhere else, which is what people were kind of waiting for, right? Like, the shoe is going to drop eventually, and it's like, oh, we're seeing the sole come down a little bit right here. But it doesn't really increase the pressure on Daryl Morey for me, because there's already a ton of pressure on Daryl Morey. He already had to nail this move, and Embiid is kind of just saying, yeah, you better nail this move, otherwise I might be out of here. He might be out of here anyways. It's only a matter of time if they can't really put a team around him. Morey has made some noise about trying to maintain flexibility for next summer, and it seems kind of crazy that they would have another gap year for Joel Embiid when he's just coming off an MVP season, but I don't know. The thing that I really took away from this is Embiid saying whatever it takes. He can improve. He can get better. And I think if he wants to win a championship in Philadelphia, he's got to be a better leader, and he's got to be better in the playoffs. So we'll see how that turns up.
Yeah, I didn't initially think that this was very wavy. Didn't really make a lot of waves for me. It's three words, or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else. At the same time, though, when it comes to his situation, and maybe Trey's just gotten in my head a little bit over the years, but I'm buying that he will do anything, and that could be moving on somewhere else.
Right.
So it's not this year. It's not now, but yeah, if they don't, if they don't go far, I think, you know, he's more likely to stick around, even if they make the finals, I would say. I think he could be a Sixer for life.
How about a conference finals?
Yeah, conference finals would be good. They were there, 3-2. They were there.
It's funny, because on one hand, like, yeah, he's come up with some lame ducks in the playoffs, and I think he does warrant a lot of the blame for at least some playoff failure. But then you do put yourself in his shoes. All this shit with Ben Simmons. Now all this shit with James Harden. Like, obviously a coaching change is happening here. See if Nurse helps. It's got to be frustrating, which is why at some point you just get tired of it, I'd imagine, and be like, all right, I'm done with this. I mean, I guess people will say, oh, you're running from it. You're not a leader. You want, and like, look, I'm reaching here. That's not what he said at all. But you could see why it could get to that point. Just that frustration of like, we can't even get to a conference finals.
Yeah, I mean,
but he's a part of the reason. He's the part of the blame.
I think that is ultimately the case here. Like, his numbers go down every single playoff.
Yeah.
Scoring goes down, shooting percentages go down, more turnovers than assists. Like, Embiid has not shown up in the playoffs the way he does in the regular season. Winning the MVP has been more important to him up until this point in his career, I would argue. So maybe getting one opens him up to, you know, making some changes and being the leader that the Sixers need him to be, because he's got to be able to put the team on his back. He didn't hardly touch the ball down the stretch of Game 6 and then completely no-showed in Game 7 against the Celtics. So he has to be better. But also, like you're saying, Skeets, there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of talent that has left the Philadelphia 76ers. They might be losing some more here, and he doesn't want to be the one sticking around taking all the blame.
Yeah. Any other thoughts here on Harden, Embiid, Maury, or are we just wait this out here, and you believe that Harden ultimately will be traded? Because he seems done. He seems so pissed off with Daryl Morey. Like, I feel like he thinks he was lied to or something, you know, like whatever
like
the contract.
It, yeah.
I mean, that's how he seems to be taking it like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm done with you, man. Get out.
But also you kind of have to question his character a little bit, unfortunately, because of the way it ended in Houston and then Brooklyn, too.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of reasons why they haven't gone to a conference finals. But we're talking about all of them. Like, you add all these up. I mean, all these characters, all these people have their flaws, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Daryl gave him a wink-wink. Nobody really knows. But at the same time, he signed a deal for 2 years at a little less.
You got to assume, though, it was like a wink-wink. Come on. I help you. You help me.
Yeah.
And then it feels like Maury's turned around like, nope.
Well, no.
We're not.
No, because they just lost. And they weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to find a way. But unfortunately, I think he ain't getting a good package in terms of other GMs offering anything for him.
Right.
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, let's talk about the biggest offseason winners and losers. Let's try and avoid the Sixers that you may have in the losers category, because it's been
They've only lost Niang so far. They're doing okay.
Okay, they lost the minivan. I wonder if there were socks in the middle console. minivan. Tash, when are you going to start it with your big offseason winner? Who are you going
This may just seem like it's a little bit of a reach, but I think the Kings had a good offseason. I know. It sounds like a stretch.
What the hell did they do?
Well, yeah. Really, they stayed pat is what they did.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think it is a win that they didn't go out and reach for a power forward like Kyle Kuzma, who may have just crippled their ability to do something next year or the year after that. They went cheaper with Harrison Barnes, and they re-signed Domantas Sabonis. And I think there's some smart little caveats in that contract for them to be able to make moves later on.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I think the bigger thing on the court is what I'm concerned about. On the court, if they're going to take the next step, if they're going to be elite, their guy in Keegan Murray, I know we kind of don't think about Keegan Murray a lot. He's kind of just floats around and just hits threes around Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. But that number three guy, if he could take another step as a number three, and I think he's on his way. In Summer League, he was awesome. It sort of went under the radar, but they gave him the ball and they said, you're going to create plays. We need you to take another step. And he's been working out with De'Aaron Fox since their playoff run ended, really. It's been him and Fox in the gym together. And it showed in Summer League where he was the guy and he had two monstrous games. And they said, all right, that's good. Sit out. And now I think there's a possibility that he could be, you know, they're hoping that this is a Denver Nuggets situation where they just stay pat and keep going. And he looks really good. I mean, he had 200 threes in his rookie year, and I think he can make plays if he is that secondary sort of playmaker beside De'Aaron Fox. That's where they go to a real contender status, and it may not happen in the first few months. He may not be awesome, but they need him, you know, because their other starters are Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes, you know, besides Sabonis and Fox, and he just needs to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Really, what is that? What it comes down to, and I know they didn't make a big splashy move, but they could do that in the future, and I think Keegan Murray's growth is decent. So I just wanted to talk about Keegan, because he just kind of flies under the radar, but I think he'll be good.
You think he could have a breakout year here?
Yeah.
He's got Kuzma potential. Yeah. He can be easily as good as Kyle Kuzma is, and he's way cheaper right now, way younger, and by the time he's going to be due for his rookie extension, Harrison Barnes will be coming off the books for the Kings. If they don't trade him, he's going to be a guy we talk about in trade rumors until he's gone from Sacramento. So I thought kind of underwhelming from the Kings once they opened up the cap space, but they're betting on continuity. Keegan Murray was a top five pick a year ago, so they're like, he's going to get better eventually. Let's let these guys grow. I think it was probably smart. If they're able to stay as healthy this season as they were last season, they'll be looking good.
Yeah. And they did. Their one big move was getting the Bulgarian, the EuroLeague MVP, and Sasha Vezenkov. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but a shooter. And we know we can do that. I don't know why that would translate in the NBA. So that was their like big signing, I guess, along with Harrison Bynes re-signing him.
Sasha Vezenkov. The left-handed Klay Thompson. I know it's a reach. It's a reach. It's because he doesn't dribble. He doesn't dribble, and he's got. I mean, watch the highlights. It's going to be fun to watch Sacramento Kings basketball just because he's got a funky shot. Yeah. The courting of the Kings by the Kings of Vezenkov is pretty fun. If you read Sam Amick's most recent article. They went after him. They've been after him for years to come over. And
he was drafted in like 2017, right?
Yeah.
Like way back.
Yeah.
They got him.
So we'll see if he helps. Okay, the Kings, sort of that continuity play. Yeah. What about you, Trey? Big offseason winner.
Biggest winner of the offseason is the San Antonio Spurs. They got Victor Wembanyama. That's the biggest transaction that happened the entire offseason. They won the draft lottery, and they drafted the next generational prospect. They also signed their coach to coach for the rest of his life, basically. Not a lot of moves for San Antonio. They brought back Trey Jones. They took on some contracts to deal with picks and stuff. They picked up Cameron Payne. They picked up Reggie Bullock. I don't really care about that. They got Victor Wembanyama. People care about the Spurs again. The Spurs are back, just like that. So I think that's actually the thing that changes the NBA the most. The team that got Victor Wembanyama, and it's the Spurs. And it's the coolest possible place he could go.
A little continuity there as well around Wembanyama. Devin Vassell's going to be making some headlines this year. He's played 3 years in the league. You wouldn't think, because he's with San Antonio, kind of flew under the radar, that he was near 20 points. He was 18.5 points per game, nearly 39% from three. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand by my prediction that he's going to have a 50-point game one day.
Nice. Sure.
It's going to happen. He's going to fire away. So, yeah, that's you're right about the free agency wasn't all that wasn't all that juicy.
Nobody was expecting much from San Antonio, right? Like, they weren't in the Houston class where everybody's like, Houston, they want to be better next year. They're going to spend a whole bunch of money on veterans. The Spurs, once they won the draft lottery, they're like, we will stay. We'll take in Wembanyama, and we'll try and grow this team together and see what we got down the line.
Do you think he will win Rookie of the Year? Will he play enough games, I guess, is probably what I'm getting at. Or would you look at someone else, like maybe Chet Holmgren?
I'm going to pick Chet. Yeah. I'm going to pick Chet when it comes season time.
Okay. Any thoughts on that?
I think he'll play enough games.
You do?
Yeah.
They're already like trying to get us ready that he won't be playing enough games.
Yeah, Zach Lowe's talking about load management already.
Yeah.
The guy's played a ton, though, too. Like, Wembanyama has played a lot, and he's going to be in the Olympics next year. Yeah. Slow play it, I suppose.
Quick winner. Got to go with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they not only got a superstar player in Bradley Beal, which felt like an eternity ago at this point, but they also did some pretty good work around the margins with signing all these guys to basically minimum deals. We're talking Eric Gordon, they re-signed Damian Lee, Bates Diop, Watanabe, Eubanks, Metu. Just we'll get to Bol Bol a little bit later in the up down report. Just good work there, even getting Goodwin there in that Beal deal. They got a superstar, and they made their team deeper. So that's like a win-win there. Expectations are going to be through the roof, obviously. But that's a damn good offseason. I think they surprised at least some of the names and players that they picked up when after they made the Beal deal, and everybody was like, well, what the hell are they going to do? They only got like four guys, it feels like. And they really kept guys and filled out the rest of the roster. So I got to give them some love. It looks good on paper.
It looks good on paper, yeah. It was surprising that they were able to get all these guys on minimums because they have four max guys, and then the rest are literally minimums. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
11
yeah.
minimum contracts.
It's wild, yeah, when you put it that way. So it was surprising that they those quality names. Now, I do think there are some, you know, low floor, high ceiling guys within those supporting players. Like Jordan Goodwin had half a good season with the Washington Wizards. Now that they traded Campaign, he's going to be asked to do something on this team.
Yeah.
He is more of a Frank Vogel player, you know, more of a defensive player.
Yeah.
And maybe he's good. But there's some risk, I think, trading Campaign, even though, you know, come playoff time, do you need Campaign? It's more just a fallback option that they got rid of with Campaign. But yeah, these Bates D up, high ceiling. Maybe a low floor at times. Mm-hmm. There's still questions.
They're just hoping like all of these minimum guys, one or two of them hits, right? Because you're not going to be playing all these guys, you know, no. outside of injury to some of their main guys.
Who do you think's going to hit?
Well, Gordon's
got the best chance. Yeah. He's like a 40-year NBA veteran. He was playing playoff yeah. minutes last year. Yeah. I assume he will be the guy who gets the closing minutes to yep. start. But there's a reason all these guys were available yes. for minimum contracts, yes. right? Like Chimezie Metu, he is a fun highlight guy to watch because he can jump out of the gym, but he scores like 4 points a game.
Yeah.
It's quite possible that they have five players going into the playoffs. None of these guys.
I think they're high on Bates Diop. I think they're hoping that he'll be like that perfect fifth guy that can hit threes because he's going to be left open, and he shot them well. I mean, he doesn't take a ton of them, but he's been basically a 40% shooter, 39% shooter, I believe. Yeah. And he's been around a lot longer than you think, too. I feel like, I don't know, he's sort of... You forgot about him for a reason. You're right, Trey. He hasn't been good. But I think he could be that type of sort of just fifth guy that can contribute. So that's what they're hoping. But let's get to losers. Who's your biggest offseason loser?
They also got Drew. Sorry, back to the Suns really quickly. Yeah, also got Drew Eubanks, who Trey once said is 90% of Jakob Poeltl.
That's right. Yeah, he's a lot more affordable.
So then that's a good get if he is 90%.
90% of Jakob Poeltl for 10% of the contract.
Yeah.
That's a good trade. That's a good arbitrage opportunity.
Arbitrage?
That's a weird word. I don't know if I've ever said that out loud before.
I've read it a lot. Yeah.
Anyway, losers, I know you guys want to talk about the Raptors. I can't get down on them.
But that's your loser.
Yeah. Hit me. They let Fred VanVleet, they're probably one of their greatest success stories, gone for nothing.
Fine by me. In all honesty,
sad stuff. The fans turning on Fred VanVleet like this.
Well, no, they were a mediocre team last year. They're going to be mediocre with or without Fred, mm-hmm. right? And do they want to pay him? I think it's just for all these Raptors fans that want a switch up. Isn't that a good switch up?
What was the switch up?
Just to not
Dennis
pay.
Schroeder.
Well, it's not a good. No, they got worse, 100%. But do you want to pay Fred to be a mediocre team for years and years and years?
No. That's good on Fred, but that's way too much money. For him at this point of his career, he's not going to get any better. I know he wants me to bet against him.
Yep.
That's how he lives his life, but he's not.
Anyways, it's not promising looking in for Raptors fans. It's not promising, no.
Said goodbye to the only coach who's ever won a championship for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but there's some bad vibes.
Yes.
Yep.
And then who knows what happens with Siakam here.
And who knows what happens with Siakam. And then they paid huge contracts to Poeltl, Dennis Schroeder, and Jalen McDaniels. Guys who were like minimums. Schroeder and McDaniels were minimums last year, and they're getting massive pay bumps just because the Raptors had to sign some guys. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's also weird to have Siakam kind of like dangling in the wind there. Clearly, the Raptors are ready to move on from the championship era, but it means they're moving on from the championship era, and when that's the case, your team is usually not very good.
Yeah, you can't deny that they are a loser of the offseason. It does not look good. They're losing talent, and they seem... They especially with the Siakam situation, it's like where are we going? What's the direction here?
Yeah, so. but all in all, they go from a team that was 41-41 last year to not paying Fred, as I said, and paying guys like it's not a massive pay bump really. Like Schroeder at $12 million, that's like pennies.
That's mid level, yeah.
And you can easily deal it. And Jalen McDaniels, we thought that it was $9 million per year when it came out, but it's actually $9 million over 2 years. According to our friends at Hoops Hype. So, and I think that's correct. So that's all right. Listen, they're not great. But you know, I think Rajakovic brings some good vibes. as new head coach?
I don't know. They go from 41 to maybe 37.
So what?
What?
I mean, well, that's not good.
No, it's not good. but you're locked in. If you're paying Fred and Pascal 80 combined.
Yeah. This is what we're getting at here. Are these players max players? You get into that situation where it's like, they are in our situation, but do you want to pay them? Are you going to win a championship with those two guys? Probably not.
Yeah.
You're going to be good. You might be just, that'll be the problem. You'll be sort of just mediocre good. The worst spot you can sort of be in this league.
They're the Bulls.
They are the Bulls.
The Raptors are the Bulls, and people don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
Because Masai Ujiri won a championship.
Yeah.
5 years ago. Yeah. 4 years ago.
But they could have been more bullied by paying Fred. They could have been more locked into this team. I think Masai realized we hit a ceiling here.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe Fred just, I say that, but maybe Fred just didn't sign the contract that they offered him 12 months ago.
They did.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with it.
Any other
change in direction?
See in the play-in.
Any other? Yeah. Oh, geez. Hope 37 wins. That's not going to get us in.
I saw the Bulls and the Raptors both at 38.5 over-under for this coming season. Yep.
Oh.
9th and 10th seeds once again, buddies.
Oh, boy.
Tune in for the No Dunks Bull 2024 on Playback.
Can't wait. We should go. We really should. We should go cheer on, go cheer on our teams. Any other losers from the offseason? Any other teams?
I got a tiny little minor loser.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't think of them as a loser, but I think the Nuggets got to be a minor loser here. They broke up the compost crew.
Yep.
Mm. They only got one Brown left, and he's spelled Braun. So Bruce Brown out, Jeff Green out. They still got Jokic and Murray, so it's not that big of a deal. They still got their starting lineup. Who's the best starting lineup in the NBA? But losing those two support pieces will affect the Nuggets, I think. And more importantly, the Lakers definitely got better, and the Suns definitely got better. So I think the rest of the West caught up to the Nuggets a little bit because they took a little minor step back. So I think it's going to be harder for the Nuggets in the playoffs this season.
Yep.
Totally fair. They lost their 6th and 7th guys in their rotation. So, yeah, that is something.
But they're going to hope Christian Brown can play more of a role. Yep. Maybe Watson can play more. And maybe they do. Maybe
their
they prove that.
Their rookies awesome look in good summer league.
Yep, that's right. All three of them look decent.
Hunter Tyson. It's a fun name. Julian Strother. Also a fun name. And a Vlatko Chanchar we could see a little bit more of. And they re-signed Reggie Jackson, which everybody kind of raised an eyebrow at. Why? Well, you barely wanted to play him in the playoffs, but you signed him to a 2-year, $10 million. But I guess they like him. And I will say Reggie Jackson, mere years ago, was starting in the playoffs, banging home shots.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're asking him potentially to be your 6th or 7th guy, which is acceptable. But they're going to miss the Bruce Brown machismo, the walking around the court
definitely.
And yelling at everybody.
Cowboy boots and the cowboy hat.
Yeah,
sure. All right, well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your Bulls. We'll talk about Bull, talk about Paris, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. If you're joining us live on YouTube, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe, all you sickos out there. But let's get to the up-down report.
Prepare your tubies. It's the up-down report.
Yeah. Get your thumbs out. Up-down report, first one. The Chicago Bulls have emerged as a potential suitor for Christian Wood. Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times reporting this. The Bulls were recently granted a $10.2 million disabled player exception for Lonzo Ball, which could allow them to use part of it to potentially sign Christian Wood. Heat Lakers may be interested in him. The Mavericks, they're not. But Trey,
not at all.
Are you up or down on the Bulls, you know, possibly kicking the tires on a Christian Wood?
Kick away, boys.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm up. What can I say?
Our teams are so depressing.
Yeah, exactly. Schemes of like, this guy can score and he's over 6'6", so that would help the Bulls. He's a good shooter. Like, Christian Wood has got incredible skills. But there's also this quote from Dan Wojcicki explaining how Christian Wood has been on seven teams in seven seasons. If LeBron can get Christian Wood to toe the line, it cements LeBron as the greatest player of all time, one NBA source said. That's how hard it is. So I don't know if he's the greatest guy to bring into a locker room, but with the Lonzo exception, he's basically free. And you only sign him for 1 year. That's what the Mavericks were trying to do last year. They're like, keep him in a contract year, and he will produce. He scored 17 a game, but he wants to score 34 a game.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's destined for the Lakers then. If there is anybody that can put him in line, it's the guy who put J.R. Smith in line, the guy who figured it out and won a championship. But, maybe it's really interesting who is going to take that chance. The Bulls do need front court scoring. That would be nice for them. He'll probably eat some Pat Williams minutes. Good, bad, indifferent. But the guy can score. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Man, seven teams. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. You want to name them all? That's a lot of fun.
Started with the Pistons.
No, he didn't.
Oh, there was a sneaky 10-day or something?
He started with the Pistons. He played for four teams before the Pistons.
Oh, those teams.
Not a lot, but he played for the Sixers, played for the Hornets, played for the Bucks, played a handful of games for the Pelicans. Then he played for the Pistons. That's where we know him, sort of where he came on the scene there. 13
really
points per game.
Established himself. Yeah.
Then he played for the Rockets a couple years, scored 21 a game. In only 41 games one season, then the Mavericks.
Wow.
And then now we are finding out what his next team will be. But this guy, great stats. He sucks.
he talk about an empty stats guy. He did get to call Shaq a casual once, which was pretty cool. but yeah, I mean, if he wants to make money, perhaps it's the Bulls. If he wants to try and win something, he's going to sign with a better team.
Yep.
Unless he wants to win a play-in championship. They'll be there. They will be there.
This is unbelievable. I've looked at Christian Wood's page, his basketball reference page, many, many times, and I just skipped over 17 games with Philly, 13 games with Charlotte, 13 games with Milwaukee, and 8 games with the Pels. It's
I just realized he's never played in the playoffs.
No.
That's sort of weird.
A lot of bad teams. Dallas was the closest he had.
Yeah.
Closest shot he had.
Yeah, that's right. They couldn't even get into the play-in. All right, next one here. The Phoenix Suns signed free agent center Bol Bol to a one-year fully guaranteed deal this week. They also traded Campaign, as we talked about, a second-round draft pick in cash to the Spurs for a future second-round pick, as well as acquired 3 second-rounders from the Orlando Magic for a draft pick swap. And we learned that Bradley Beal will enter training camp as the Suns' projected starter at point guard because they don't have anybody. It's Beal, it's Booker, and I guess you can talk yourself into Goodwin maybe as sort of a real point guard. But are you up or down here? Tass, we'll start with you on the Suns' sort of moves here, most notably signing Bol Bol and this idea that Beal will be the point guard.
Call me a sicko because these are really intriguing transactions to me.
These second rounders that they're...
Well, intriguing. I'm intrigued that the Orlando Magic, who have come nowhere close to the postseason recently, had a guy in Bol Bol performing for them last year and said, nah, we don't want this guy that we're paying $2 million. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
What is up with that? I'm not going to go to the extent that it's a Christian Wood situation, but it sure feels like maybe he wanted a bigger role and wasn't getting it, and that's what happened in Denver to some degree. They let him go or moved him on to Orlando. It's just that part's strange. So Phoenix, taking a flyer, will he play? Yes or no? Maybe not, but he's obviously got a heck of a lot of upside. So that's the Phoenix Suns' route right now. I also find it interesting they got rid of Campaign to save money.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Matt Ishbia has a line. I didn't think there would be any way Matt Ishbia would ever try and save money, but every rich person.
There's a reason they're rich.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's right. Yeah. Because Hollinger broke it down. They could have waived Payne, but that would have put $2 million on the Suns' books. And with the tax penalties, it would have been like $10 million. So trading him instead turns the $10 million into zero. And doing it this way cost them some cash and a future pick, but it also generated a $6.5 million trade exception that they could use at the deadline. And they could use some of these new second rounders maybe too to try and improve the roster. I think that's sort of the thinking here in getting some of them.
Yeah, and they can trade their first round pick at draft day next year. They can get a couple players via trade exception. They've got another one from the Saric trade. So there's ways. Their team's damn good.
How do you feel about Beal as the starting point guard, Trey?
I mean, I guess somebody has to be the starting point guard. And he's had some success as a ball handler. He's got some surprisingly high assist percentages, I think, from his time in Washington after John Wall departed. I don't think he's necessarily a born playmaker, but he's a decent playmaker.
Yeah.
Very similar to Devin Booker. Like, Devin Booker, you don't think of as a playmaker so much as you think of him as a scorer. But Booker does that as well, as does Beal. So I think they're basically just going to be both handling the ball and creating for others, creating for each other. And that's the key to me, is that it's not just going to be a table-setting role, but you need to have actions all the time where two of the three are together and the other guy's on the other side. Maybe it's Kevin Durant on the other side and Beal and Booker are running a pick and roll together. Or maybe it's a down screen from Booker to Kevin Durant. They used to run that with the Oklahoma City Thunder all the time. It was Westbrook setting screens for Kevin Durant and James Harden handling the ball. So they got a lot of options, and it's just a designation on a scorecard, really.
Yeah, to me, it's on the defensive end is the concern. It's like, who's going to be guarding the best guard on the other team? All these incredible guards in the Western Conference that you see night in, night out. It's like, to me, it almost has to be Booker. Has to like
Booker's
really focus
defender.
And lock in defensively this year, and maybe he can take a step back with the offensive load because you got Beal, and obviously if Durant's healthy. But that to me, you're right. Who cares? Point guard, shooting guard, whatever, small forward. They all handle the ball. They all score. They all shoot. They all do it all. But defensively, it's like, who's going to take the John Morants and the Currys and all those great guards
point.
And Fox and stuff like that.
Yeah. That is a good point. Good point here from the stream team too.
Sure.
Nuggets just won without a traditional point guard. It can work.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
From half-life heroes. They also had Jokic, who is a point guard.
Maybe the greatest passer we've ever seen.
And a ton of size. That was the other thing. Like, Porter's big. Gordon's big. Obviously, Jokic is big. If you're looking at like the best defender on the Suns, it's probably Josh Okogie.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but then you're starting three guys that are 6'4", 6'5", alongside Durant and Ayton, who obviously are, near 7 feet tall. So, I don't know. I can see Okogie being an important player for them as their lockdown defender, but that hurts the offense. You just got to hope they make up for it with the other guys.
Next one here, the league announced Wednesday that the Nets and the Cavaliers will play in Paris on January 11th, about 7 months before the city hosts the 2024 Olympics. This is going to be the third NBA regular season game in Paris. Pistons and Bulls played there last season, but it's Nets, Cavs in Paris in January. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I love it. Nothing more, nothing less. That's awesome. Who's going? Anybody going? Lee will be there.
I love it.
I love it.
Why? Why Nets Cavs? Why isn't the Spurs?
Exactly. Why
That's
Nets
stupid.
Cavs?
That's dumb. I'm thumbs down.
Well, fart noise.
Yeah.
France is already behind Wembanyama. They don't need to see him again.
Send the Timberwolves.
Why?
And Rudy Gobert.
Oh, Rudy.
They got an exciting young player in Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
I agree. Nets and Cavs is a weird choice. Are there international Nets fans? I don't think so. There's barely Brooklyn Nets fans.
I think there's lots of Brooklyn Nets fans out there. That's the point of this trip, is to expand the minds of these Parisians and the French to like other teams. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Don't just force feed them their French players. They're already watching their French players.
You're saying this will sell out regardless. Nets, Cavs, it'll be a...
Oh, come on, man.
Sick of party.
These guys are sick of us. Listen, there is an exciting player on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, there's a
couple. Two. Yeah. There's three. I think Evan Mobley is exciting. And they got a George Niang.
That'll be a great introduction. Georges Niang. That's why they sent him.
That's why.
That and Carey LeVert. Like, oh, they got two French guys.
Yeah.
Who? LeVert and Georges.
What about the Nets?
You got me.
Let's see how the
Nets go.
Let's see how that French guys. Amani Brooks. Dorian.
These are weird French accents, by the way.
No, that was good.
All right. All right, thumbs up. Who wants to? We're gonna try. And,
I love
we're
it.
Gonna try and push for that.
I love it.
All right, final one. We already had a short on this, but I wanted to slip it in here to the up down report. LeBron James changing his uniform from number 6 to number 23 next season, according to Dave McMenamin. Bron chose to change his number back to 23 out of respect for the late great Bill Russell, because obviously the number 6 has been retired by the rest of the league, but those people that wore number 6 were sort of grandfathered in. LeBron continued to wear it, but he is going back to 23. Thumbs up or thumbs down on LeBron continuing to change his jersey number?
I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. Why not? Just change it every now and then. I think he should have never worn 6 for the Lakers. Apparently he changed it because Space Jam was coming out. And he wore number 6 in Space Jam.
Yeah.
But he's better in 23. 14 seasons in 23, 6 seasons in 6. Won 2 titles.
I was going to say.
Each of them, 27, 7, and 7. Basically were his averages for each of them. But if you're just looking at his career wearing number 23, LeBron would be 10th all-time in scoring. That's incredible.
Wow.
14 seasons, he'd be 10th all-time in scoring, 14th in assists, 90th in rebounds. So, I don't know. I'll still always think of LeBron as 23 and 6 as his Heat number. I know he wore one of the Lakers, but that's his Miami number to me.
And his U.S. number, right?
Yes.
I didn't even realize he wore a number in Space Jam. I watched that movie.
Yeah.
I just thought he had a jersey.
So he was number 6, is what you're saying, in Space Jam?
Guess so.
I don't remember it either. I guess it must have been on that jersey, though.
Yeah, yeah. James 6. There we go.
What number was Bugs? 1?
Let's see. I'm sure.
Just a carrot.
Wasn't somebody a half? Was that little
maybe Tweety?
Yeah.
Bugs is 1, at least in the OG. Yeah, it looks like both.
Okay.
Let's see. You want to see
I'd
Tweety?
I'd like to know Tasmanian Devil and Tweety.
Tweety, 1/3.
Oh.
Interesting. Donald Duck looks like a 2. And who did you ask? The Tasmanian Devil?
Yeah.
The Tasmanian Devil wore an exclamation point.
That's
crazy.
That's cool.
By the way, I've seen this week I saw 2 license plates that said TAS on them.
Yeah, I know. They are
just TAS?
Well, like TAS and then
and
numbers.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
They're
you
flying around,
seen
huh?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Really?
Oh, yes. You haven't seen them?
No.
Keep your eye out for
every
a TAS.
Every day. Every day I see a TAS.
I'm not going to be able to not see it now. You watch. That'll help. But you're just saying it's just the random numbers.
But yeah, that's the cycle TAS. That they're in right now.
Yeah, that's the cycle. That and CU and a letter.
Do you know your license plate off the top of your head?
Yeah, because the first 4 letters of mine are CUN7. Open up, I was like, whoa! I didn't know that Laura ordered a custom plate.
Wow. It's cool. JD, do you know yours? Either of your cars?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Do you ever take a photo of your...
Every time. I've got like 25 pictures of my license.
You don't delete your own license.
I don't delete anything. Everything that's been sent to me on WhatsApp, on all of our little channels and chats, I have in my library right now.
And you? You know yours?
Nah, I don't.
You don't? Yeah. I don't think I know mine off the top
of my head. I think I could take a guess, but... Ask me.
What do you think your license plate is? I can go outside.
I think it's DNZ4212. Is that right?
I don't. I'm going to check.
I thought you knew. I thought you knew my
DNZ is pretty cool.
Dragon Nall Z. That's very impressive.
All right. Up, down report. Were you guys thumbs up or thumbs down on those? I know you're letting us know on the stream team. Let us know on Twitter at No Dunk Sync.
I love it.
We got to clip that.
I love it. I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's end this drop podcast with some rapid fire. Yeah. Tash, you got the cues.
Here we go. Draymond Green recently spoke about punching Jordan Poole on the Pat Bev podcast. When's the last time you wanted to punch someone, Skeets?
Nah, I'm a lover, man. But I know my wife wanted to punch me this morning.
Boy, what did you do?
We had a little too much fun at the baseball game yesterday, Tash.
That's right.
Yeah. A day game, 12:20, first pitch. Mm-hmm. I did the mistake of, I'll be home by dinner.
Well,
why did I say that? Why?
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't going to be the case. I knew we were going to go out for dinner. I knew then that was going to turn into games. You know, we're playing everything. We played ping pong. We played bago. We played bowling. Mm-hmm. We did everything yesterday. Also watched a baseball game. But I kept doing the coming home soon. Yep, coming. Nah. Mm. Way too late. I mean, it wasn't super late, but a long day.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Does anyone know a good divorce lawyer? But there was that point that we did try and call an Uber.
Oh, I got dinged for an Uber charge.
Ooh.
What happened there? I'm blaming that on you or Grish. I was ready to get in an Uber. I was ready to go.
The Uber consistently would assign a new driver.
Oh.
No one came. It happens at Truist Park every single time.
Oh, so we got
frustrated.
We were like, screw this, let's go bowling.
Yeah, exactly. We were one of the worst pickup zones.
It's brutal.
We were going to go. We were ready to go. We each had and it happened to each of us.
Yeah, because you were going
the
other
way. Like it would go from 5 to, now someone's coming in 13 minutes. Oh, now someone's coming in 12 minutes. Great. It just never came.
Yeah, it's not our fault. Mm. You hear that, Nora? Danny? Not our fault. Uber drivers.
It's definitely our fault. I said, I tried to get home. She said, you know how stupid you sound when you...
I tried to get home.
I couldn't make it. Trey, when's the last time you wanted to punch someone?
Yeah, I had a tough one with this, too. Because when it comes to fight or flight... only thing that ever makes me mad enough to want to punch somebody... Racking my brain this morning, getting pushed in the back when you're in the air playing basketball.
Ooh.
A guy named Paul Blythe did it to me in high school. Ooh. Wanted to fight him, and a guy named Walt did it to me a few years ago.
Wow.
Playing at the church. I had some life stuff going on that day as well, so apologies to Walt, but do not push me in the back.
Yeah. I almost went with my answer. Remember the time, was it Chris Black?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He stepped under me on a jumper.
I thought
he purposely did it.
Yep.
To this day. I'm friends with Chris, but that was the angriest I've ever been.
I remember
that. I was ready to throw the fuck down. What, you can't step under a guy. You know, twist my ankle.
I'm not friends with Chris. He blocked me on Twitter. Maybe because I said, don't step under
Steve. Oh, man. Okay, so that's good.
Okay, JD, you're the fighter here. What do you got?
I actually struggled with this as well because in my old age, I've gotten less angry, less violent.
Mm.
So I was staring at my computer as well, and then I glanced up from my computer, and there's my fucking dog just looking at me. I wanted to punch him. I just wanted... I never would. I never would. I never would. But this guy, he's the worst, man.
Your dog is so good. I don't understand. You love your one dog, and you hate your other dog, and I don't get it.
Because he's just so... He's a sniveler. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like... Eh. And we're outside. Like, it's not like he wants to go outside. We're outside. I'm sitting out front. He's leashless. He's a great dog in that sense, but he's just sitting at me going, I'd like to go inside now. I just fucking punch
you. Just pop him right then.
I can punch you, Cosmo. But that's it. Yeah. I never would. Again, I never would, and I would never condone that, but God damn it. Trey walked in on me and my wife having an argument today. The dog is like, he's outside in the backyard. It's not that hot yet. And he just, he doesn't even scratch at the door. He just jumps at the door like, let me in. Let me in. It's like, God damn, you're a dog. Just stay in the backyard for 2 minutes.
Be outside,
yeah.
It is hot, but.
But it wasn't hot. It wasn't hot yet.
That was the argument you were having with your wife?
Yeah. She's like, well, just hurry up. And she wanted Jackson to take him for a walk. And it's like, the dog doesn't want to go for a walk. Don't tell him to hurry up because who gives a shit? He's a dog. Again, I would never punch my dog, but goddamn.
No. I'd punch you if you punched your dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you
and that. I would deserve it. I would deserve it.
Fair enough.
I'd punch you for punching my dog.
You called your dog a sniveler. I like that.
He is. He snivels. Sniveler. He's just.
What a great word.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. I definitely mailed these in today. But,
hey, when did these go in, by the way?
It was late. It was about 11 p.m. I got home.
I was impressed when I saw them in the morning because I didn't know they were going
to
be there.
My wife didn't let me in the bed, so I had to write rapid-fire questions. Next one here. The Thunder just waived 17-year veteran Rudy Gay. What were you doing 17 years ago?
Definitely
precisely
this
2000. I even put 2006 in the brackets.
Yeah, that's nice. See this possibly.
Yeah, not in July.
Well,
not
did we take July off?
Oh, you better believe it.
It's our first year. Days. We started podcasting in the 05-06 season.
Yep.
I think we started in January of 06.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. We probably weren't doing it during the summer.
No way.
Definitely not.
But I was thinking about the show. I was working on a graphic, probably.
Oh. Yep.
I guess I was blogging. Yeah, I was probably blogging. Anyway, I was doing this, basically, which is goddamn depressing. Say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I was doing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty.
You're welcome.
Trey.
Yeah, things were actually a lot different for me in 06.
There you go.
Spent a lot of time on the internet. Bowls were mid. Mission Impossible was in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, same stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly the same stuff.
Man.
I just wore more all-over print t-shirts and sweatshirts, I think.
You know, really?
Like a design on all
like
of it.
Dan Flashes type shirts?
A little Flashes. A little bit like a Flashes.
Complicated
But I will say, this was probably at the peak of my wearing shirts that had skulls on it.
Wow.
It's my skulls era.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you guys do some TC tugging at our meet and greet?
There was a guy with a TC tugger shirt.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, it's fun to tug
that
shirt.
Until you said that, I had completely forgotten it. But yeah.
It was a no dunk shirt, like one of the wedgie shirts, maybe the finals one, with just a TC tugger's
name. Yeah, bottle cap or whatever.
Is it more fun to tug someone else's shirt or your own shirt if you had a TC tugger?
I think your own, to be honest.
Yeah.
You were doing it to the guy?
Yeah, yes.
How did we not take a video of that?
He asked me, so. But yeah, you have
he to. He asked you if you wanted to tug his shirt?
That is right. JD, what were you doing 17 years ago?
Yeah, 17 years ago, I was waiting for Lincoln to be born. Rachel was in the hospital. She had been in there for 6 to 7 weeks, and he arrived 10 days later, July 31st. So 10 days from now, Lincoln will be 17 years old. It's crazy.
Yeah, you could beat the snot out of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would not want to mess with
he's
him.
He's still all into that? Yeah?
He,
or is it cooled down a little bit?
He's cooled down.
Fighting,
yeah, yeah, he's cooled down. He was very, very into jiu-jitsu. But yeah, he's moved on.
Good.
Moved on. Yeah. Still in the gym though. Still in the gym.
Good.
2-3 hours a day.
Oh,
so yeah.
Is he like carbon up and all that?
Creatine? Carbon up? Oh, creatine.
I remember
big
taking
time.
Creatine.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. I wouldn't allow that. Yeah. Wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, you're a dumb dog.
A fucking dog. I'm gonna get punched.
Oh, that sniffer.
Get in here, you.
All right, final one here. Trae Young said this week that he hopes Quinn Snyder, his new head coach, is his Steve Kerr, the guy that leads him to several championships. Who do you hope is your Steve Kerr? Oh, I hope you guys got creative with these answers. Skeets, what do you got?
Well, I went with a collective for my Steve Kerr. It's you. It's the No Dunks fans. Because our championship, it's 100K on YouTube. That is our LOB. And we are slowly making our way there, but we need more of you. So 100K, the No Dunks fans are my Steve Kerr, hopefully.
Okay,
they
nice.
Might let me down. They might let us down. But I believe in you.
They won't let us down. Trey.
They won't let us down.
What do you got, Trey?
Well, we actually need new No Dunks fans to not let us down.
That's true.
Yeah. About 19,000 of them.
Well, or, you know, start second accounts.
Yeah, that's not a good point, actually. Yeah. Yeah, if you're watching this now, start a second account with the word Steve Kerr somehow in your account name.
So we'll know. So we know.
We know who sent you. I've actually had a Steve Kerr my whole life. Steve Kirby.
Yeah.
It's my dad.
Yeah.
I can vividly remember looking at a 1990 Skybox card and being amazed that his name was so close to my dad and that his haircut was so close to my dad.
Yeah, he sort of has some similar characteristics. Sort of.
Yeah.
Like back in the day. Right?
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah. You know, in the early 90s, like a big feathered haircut.
Yeah, he's a tall white guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right. My dad had brown hair, now white, and Steve Kerr had blonde hair, now mostly white.
Yeah.
Steve Kirby.
Very well done. Nice. JD, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I really struggled with this
one. I mailed this one in. This was definitely, the 06, what were you doing in 06? Okay, that's lame. And
yeah,
this one.
Fine. It's fine. Nice little Steve look back.
It was late.
Who's me? It's me. I'm betting on myself over here, you know?
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Fred VanVleet.
Who am I? Who's going to lead me to anything at this point? It's me. I'm the danger, Skylar. It's me. I really don't have an answer.
No.
You did
what you could.
Are we too old to get mentors?
Yeah, I am. You guys, maybe not. I don't know.
What? How old are you? You get to over 50?
Over 50 is like, you better have your shit together.
You've become a mentor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you've got paddle.
Esh.
Yeah.
You got Esh. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So I need somebody to take over this shit. And then I can be retired Steve Kerr.
Mm.
Just playing pickleball every day.
How did you feel about that pickleball cold open?
I liked it better than the one everybody was sending me.
Yeah.
Your wife sent me that one.
This one?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that funny.
It wasn't, but I had the other one lined up, and I was like, I don't know. This is kind of mean-spirited, so I didn't want, you know.
Yep.
Make fun of pickleball all you want,
but
there's a little streak of meanness in
it. Right.
I don't need that.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need that energy in your life.
I don't need that energy in my life.
Yeah. How is the pickleball game? Are you getting better?
No, I'm getting worse. I'm absolutely getting worse. I don't play often enough. Oh, I almost quit the game entirely last night.
Yeah. Just like that?
Just like that. I entered a ladder league with a bunch of people. I was like, you know what? I'm going to play people who are way better than me, and then I'm going to get better. And all I did was get my ass handed to me, and it was literally 3 hours of hell. Like, of like people, basically, when people start like speaking to you like a child, I was like, oh, that was pretty good. That was all right.
Oh,
that one.
No.
And I'm like,
you played for months. You don't want to hear that.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Bless your
And
heart.
I was stuck there.
That was me with Taz bowling last night.
I was struggling.
He was struggling on the
lanes. Bad lanes.
Yeah.
They haven't greased those things in 40
bad
years.
Bad lanes?
He's blaming the lanes.
Put some oil.
Oh, like buffing
bad
them up.
Lanes.
Yeah.
Bad alleys.
Okay. Is everybody else having trouble with the lanes? Or
no,
just
I was
passing?
Okay. I was pretty deep. I mean, we were all pretty bad, but I woke up to $50 in my Venmo account from Grisham. I guess we bet on a bowling game. I guess I won. I was like, sweet.
Did he say what it was? Like memo? Like
no, but it was bowling.
Wow. Like a picture of a bowling ball. That's how I send anything, you know? Yeah. I send an emoji. Did people break 100?
I did.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. You did?
I did. That was then that was like just.
Yeah.
It was bad. We were really
That's
bad.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. So all this is in the battery.
Yeah, we were at some bar. But we were in multiple bars, I think.
Well, that one had it all.
Oh, that was downstairs or something? The Bago? We were playing ping pong
downstairs.
And Bago in the same place?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, had all the games.
Wow.
Oh, I sucked at Bago last night, cornhole for some of you other. I've let you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were partners against like kids. How were those kids in that bar? They were like, how is that legal?
Wait, what?
They were like 15 years old, that one kid.
They were stuck there. They couldn't get an Uber. That's their game.
They're ringers.
They beat us. Yeah. I was on me. That was on my bad.
Yeah.
All right, that's rapid fire. So rapid, isn't it? Thanks for joining us here on YouTube. Hit that like button, create a second account, then hit that like button again, and make sure you subscribe. Tell all your friends. Trying to get to 100K. We got some fun stuff coming tomorrow on YouTube. Like I said, top 20 LeBron memes. Your boys, counting them all down. That podcast is available right now. A King's Reign. It's on the Athletic NBA Show feed, so you can go listen to it, which you should. But then you want to check this out on YouTube, man. This is this was a lot of fun going through some of LeBron's best memes. So that we will post tomorrow on YouTube. It's about 30 minutes long. And coming up soon, in about an hour, join us on Playback, guys. The link is there in the show notes. Thanks to either Tass or Trey for that. And you click on that, join the room, and we will go live at 12 p.m. Eastern here on a Friday. And open some fan mail. I'm looking at all these boxes over here. We've been looking at them forever. Mm-hmm. Ready to get into them. So join us then, guys. Thanks for joining us here. We will probably have an Is This Good in the feed early next week. I jumped on with Matty O. We're going to do like a little summer series where it's going to go up in Is This Good. It's also going to go in the No Dunks feed. But we'll have some NBA podcasts for you later next week as well. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, don't punch anyone.
Brace the weekend, people.